Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we're back here. I'm Brian and Company. It is just about 8:11 on this Wednesday morning. We're here with, again, I was told three people are going to show up from the University of St. Joseph. We have five, but and President Free left. And she blew us off. I mean, was she just checking in to make sure everyone showed up and then she leaves? But I'm a huge fan of Rona, and we've been talking to her for some time. And in studio, I'll try to get the stuff proper and correct. Professor Kirsten Martin, biology professor, been there for over a decade. We have Lynette Colon, who's the director of community engagement and
spiritual life.
And then we have student Megan Audette. And then we have student Patrick Dowling here with us in studio. So I thought I would start. I mean, I was given a whole bunch of information. I just curious, before we get to some of the programmatic things, you know, Lynette, you've been there for like 8 or 9 years, you said. And Professor, you've been there for like 14?
That started in 2011.
So I'm just curious over the last, because I mean, I remember when my now wife, I was dating her, she lived on Dover Road, and we would walk the dog down to St. Joseph, and we would, you know, like play with the dog in one of the fields, and it was all women, and I think it was specializing in like nursing, correct? And so I don't know if you were there at the beginning of the transition. I don't know when it went over, but I'm just curious for both of you, how has the school changed, not just with that change, but you've seen this transformation?
It continues to grow. Actually, I was a graduate student in 2001 into 2010, did part-time studying. And so it was St. Joseph College, and then eventually became University of St. Joseph. And then coming back at 2015 to then be in the transition of it going co-ed, fully co-ed. It's been growing, it's been changing, and definitely a lot of fruits from it. You know,
it must be just like crazy for you, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's great. I actually came from Bay Path University, which is still all female, so I was kind of used.
Bay Path is all female?
Yes, it is.
I didn't know
undergrad,
that.
It is. Yeah, it still is. But I'm also director of the environmental science program, and it's really helped that we are co-ed, so we have a mix of both, you know, young men that are interested in the field and young women, and it's helped kind of expand, I think, the academic offerings for students.
Megan, what year are you?
I'm a sophomore.
And where are you from?
I'm from Ellington, Connecticut.
So what made you choose University of St. Joseph?
I wasn't sure where I wanted to go to school. I didn't look at many schools. I was very bad about getting a head start on everything. But my guidance counselor at Ellington mentioned the University of St. Joseph because I wanted to go into nursing. And I actually have a few family friends who have graduated from the nursing program here. So I toured the school and I realized I loved how small it was. Mm. I liked the professor and like student connections with like the small class ratios. And so yeah, I toured it and I really just felt at home, and I knew there was a lot of things I could become a part of, get involved in. There were so many new opportunities.
Has that actually come to pass? Is that the way it is for you?
Yes. Yeah. I got super involved last year, my freshman year, in everything I could. And this year I've been kind of growing on all of those opportunities and taking leadership roles and trying to really make my own path here at USJ.
Well, schools tend to self-select. I mean, the people who want small go small, right? Mm-hmm. So you know what you're getting into, and it is a different experience. And I think that's really dynamic. And for some, you know, they end up loving it. And some, you know, it's too small. I went to a small school as well, and I liked it as well, just being able to walk on a path and know the people I see. You know, exactly. I did like that. And for you, Patrick, you know, you're a tennis player. I love the hair. I how's the second serve?
It's going very well. Consistent. Yeah. That's what it should be. Yeah.
Tell us a little bit quickly about your story.
Pretty similar reasons. As a West Hartford resident, proximity was definitely a good thing, but definitely the small class size and the community sense that USJ definitely has in relationships with teachers. Mm-hmm. In small classes, you can stay with them, also get involved with opportunities outside of class.
Yeah, just get a little closer to the mic if you can.
Yeah, opportunities outside of class. As well as just meeting with them afterwards and just really having a great relationship instead of being in a very large lecture hall where it's sort of a separation. I think it's more of a you're in the class with a professor, not just on the other side of the room.
Yeah, the access. What are you studying?
Digital media and communications.
So Professor Correa is here. Is he in your classes?
Yes.
Yes, okay.
Couple of my classes.
How's he doing?
He's doing great. He's one of my most brightest students, definitely.
Well, I could use some help on Instagram and TikTok. So if you want to stick around, because I get so much flack for my social media. I'm not good at it, so I don't want to do it. I mean, so I don't engage. When if I had facility, I would. Just going to call it University of St. Joseph Day here on Brian and Company. And we're here with a crew of folks from the school. And I want to start with you. We're talking with Lynette Colon, who's the Director of Community Engagement and Spiritual Life at the school. Talk about Mercy Week. What is it? I know that obviously there's a religious foundation to the school, but what's been going on this week?
Sure. So Mercy Week, I'll start with Mercy Day. So Mercy Day is celebrated throughout all the Mercy institutions, nationwide, internationally.
There are such a thing? Like, what's the designation? Like, what makes an institution?
So hospitals, universities, schools, anything that's been founded by the Sisters of Mercy celebrate Mercy Day, which commemorates the first Mercy House, which was established actually this year, 198 years ago.
Wow.
And that was founded by Catherine McCauley, the founder of the Sisters of Mercy, who was all about, we want to give to the community. We want to educate our women. We want to alleviate poverty. And so that is so important to the Sisters of Mercy to the point where it's one of their vows. So they take a vow of service, and it is one of our core values at the University of St. Joseph. And so everywhere, especially schools, they'll have the September 24th, which is Mercy Day, but then they will take the week.
That's today.
Yes, mm-hmm. It is. So they'll take the week to do additional celebrations and service works and different ways to honor those values of service. So this week, we started our week with, actually Sunday, we had a mass. We invited someone from Chrysalis Center, which does a lot of work out in the community. They came and talked about their services and how they provide hope in the community. And then we had an exoskeleton eatery Dr. Kristen Martin helped organize and put together, and we had a chalking up for hope. So we had students outside drawing images and messages of hope in the community, and it was awesome. I mean, we were
a lot of people turn out.
Yeah, there was a lot of people. I mean, going to classes, you saw the group of people outside, and you would just stop by and add something to the pathway outside the McDonough building at the school.
What's an exoskeleton eat?
I should have brought you some leftovers. I have a fridge leftovers.
I'm a little nervous about it.
Yeah, so I mean, this semester I'm teaching an entomology class, and I'm an entomologist. I specialize in dragonflies, so
that's your specialty.
That's my specialty. So I told my students, this isn't class for me this semester. It's like playtime for the professor, and they just have to deal with that.
Nice.
But we put together this exoskeleton eatery. It's the second time I've done.
First of all, an exoskeleton. It's the skeletons on the outside.
Correct. Yeah. Okay. So every insect, anything you know, that's an arthropod. Has this exoskeleton.
So this is like science humor?
Yeah, it's like they're like M&Ms, I say. You know, tough on the outside, squishy on the inside.
So what's the connection with the exoskeleton and what you serve at the eatery?
Because we served insects. Mm. So insects, people don't realize they're high in nutrition, high in protein, they're sustainable.
You get like chocolate-covered crickets and stuff?
Yes, we had sriracha crickets, we had coffee crickets, chocolate crickets. We made baklava, which is baklava with bugs.
That's cute.
So
I like that.
In the morning, the class was up in our nutrition lab prepping foods. And we had things that were to honor insects. So we made like truffles, but we called them dung beetle balls because dung beetle rolls up.
But dung is also poop, so name throws me off.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of people kind of a little squeamish, so we separated it by a wall where the one table was all the insect-containing treats. The other half of the lobby were all things celebrating insects, so we had like a honey tasting station.
Oh, cool.
Things like that.
Did you guys try anything? Honestly, honest answers
no, I
only.
No, not.
Well, come down to my office because I have a fridge full of rice
crispies. I tried a cricket.
Oh,
and
it was
good. It was like a roasted, like it was like a Frito.
It was like a Frito.
Like I could see myself tossing some of that into a salad. It was delicious.
I would eat a cricket before I'd eat an ant, I think.
Really?
I think I would, but I don't know if I want to do either one. But like, do you go? People go to your office. You know, sometimes they'll have a little bowl of M&Ms or peanuts, and you have like a little bowl of crickets.
My students know to look first before they reach for the treat bowl that I put out.
That's great. Well, that's really fun. I love it. And so today is the actual Mercy Day.
Yes.
And is there anything that's open that's not just students that's open to the broader public, or is it all internal stuff?
I mean,
which is fine if it is, by the way.
Most of it is internal. I mean, I wouldn't, you know, let anyone not come. I mean, we do have people from the community who are coming. I know today, for example, we are highlighting Rise Up for Arts, which is an organization that does a lot of service out in the community, utilizing murals and utilizing art. So we're having a group of panelists from Rise Up for Hope, Rise Up for Arts coming on and talking about their work, showing their work. And then we're going to have an art workshop that's going to center on the Sisters of Mercy Critical Concerns at 3:00 today. So people are welcome to join us for these types of events. And because, again, this week our theme is Mercy Week, but it's hope and community. So we're bringing in a lot of organizations from the community that do a lot of work of hope. And it's also a great way for our students to see what's out there and see how they can connect with the community and do service in the community as well.
Now, I think it's important. We're talking with that voice is Lynette Colon, who's the Director of Community Engagement and Spiritual Life at University of St. Joseph. Professor, is it Kirsten? Is that how you like to be
said? Thank you for saying it correctly.
Yeah. Kirsten Martin, Professor of Biology. Megan Audette, who's a sophomore, and Patrick Dowling, who's a sophomore as well. For people who aren't Catholic, I mean, the whole concept, because I'm not, you want to make sure that the spirituality is embraced, but you want to make it broad to be. I don't like to use the word inclusive anymore because it has this political charging to it. But like, you want to make sure everyone feels comfortable. But like, doing good is doing good regardless of your faith. How
Absolutely.
Do you make sure you bridge those things?
So I'm also director of campus ministry. That's part of this department. And I always let people know, yes, we are a Catholic institution, but we welcome everyone. And so when we do these types of events, we definitely let people know that everyone's welcome to attend. I'm always looking for feedback and suggestions from everyone. It doesn't matter what background they're coming from, what religious, if they have any. They might not have a religious faith practice. And so we do a lot of programming that's open to everyone, and we certainly encourage that.
I'll say, coming from like the student aspect, it is really interesting to see, because a lot of my friends or a lot of us coming to the school as freshmen for the first time maybe have things that our parents have instilled in us, and this is kind of our time to explore who we want to be and what we want either our religion or maybe even just our beliefs to be.
Yeah.
So this gives us the opportunity to go to these events open-minded, not really putting that like barrier in our brain. We have the opportunity to grow and think this is our community. These are our people. We can believe different things, but we all come together in the fact that we're standing on community and that belief.
No wonder why you had her come.
Of course.
You
know what I mean?
You do admissions tours too? Is that it?
No, I don't.
You probably should. We got to take a break here. We'll check in with Morgan Cunningham and your headlines. And I want to talk more about what Patrick's studying because it's different than nursing and it's a different path too. We're continuing here with Professor Kirsten Martin, a biology professor at University of St. Joseph, Lynette Colon, a director of community engagement and spiritual life. We have Patrick Dowling, who's a sophomore at University of St. Joseph, and Megan Audette, who's also a sophomore. You know, Patrick, I just wanted to get you involved here a little bit, you know, because you're a little bit of a different story and you study, because I think of like nursing, physician assistant, other elements, which were the foundational components of the school. But what are you studying?
Digital media and communications.
So what do you want to do with that?
Specifically to go into marketing and advertising.
And so like the trend now, and I'm sure St. Joseph, because nursing, you need to prepare them to take the exams and then become nurses, like the goal is to make people work ready. Like, how is the experience getting you work ready?
Very much so. I think the relationship that USJ has with the local community is one of the reasons why I chose the school. So there's a lot of opportunities to get involved with people locally as far as, you know, running social media programs, getting involved with, you know, recording, whether it's a local concert or something like that, and then live streaming that. There's just a lot of different ways to get experience as much as possible, as much as you can possibly get.
So what's your focus? Like, what do you like the most?
Definitely, I think, in the marketing of a specific product, but that's sort of a general term, whether it could be a performance or an actual product that someone is selling. I think for me, it's just when someone's really proud of something that they've produced, being able to promote that and get that to as wide of an audience that people can kind of celebrate as well as possible, I think that's a huge thing for me.
So let me, because, you know, I'm old. And we have a lot of older folks in our listening area. Like, what? And listen, I have children, so I know people don't text as much. They snap people, you know, Instagram. You know, nobody's on Facebook, obviously, in your age group, unless your parents like show you something. Maybe
we check birthdays sometimes.
But like, tell me, like, and then there's TikTok or what have you. But like, give me a sense of what your social media consumption habits are. I'd love to hear from both of you.
I would say a lot of how I communicate with my friends around the same age and everything, we do text, and I would say, but we send, like, I was talking about this with some of my family, actually. We send, like, voice recordings to each other. We don't really, like, text. We, like...
Because now it's so much work to actually type.
Yeah, we just, like,
and you don't want to talk recording. To text, you just send a voice.
Yeah, so we send the voice recordings, or, like, Snapchat is a big way that all of us communicate. But I've realized as we go on, we step back from using it more and more. So I would say, like, mainly texting, FaceTiming. Don't usually call, but I'll FaceTime and... the voice memos a lot of the times.
Yeah, and I think with the amount of content that's out there, I think just sharing content because of how quickly and easy it is to share and then to like a specific group chat or something like that, I think most of my group chats and conversations are half text, half just content that we think someone else should see.
Yeah.
Or is interesting that we...
And your time wasting is on Reels or what? Like, what? Where are you wasting time?
TikTok, 100% TikTok. Yeah. I try to like, try to sift through making it like... putting the time limits and all of those things, but I waste a good amount of time on
TikTok. I just call it research. So
now you, like my daughter posts like four times a year, but she looks at it a lot. Like, are you a, what's your consumer to participant like ratio?
I don't participate much.
You don't post much at all?
No, but I think, I mean, I do think a good amount of like what I try to steer towards is like, getting a better understanding of things I don't understand. So, like, I do try to learn new things in my use of, like, using TikTok.
And, but are you active posting yourself?
For me, I do post pretty often. But I think more it's when it's for doing something for something that I'm doing as an internship or a professional opportunity. There's something that's very different because you need to regularly post to maintain a relationship with your audience. So, for me, I think personally and professionally are two different things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You guys want to stick around for the last segment? Do you have time?
Yeah, that's
fine.
I got time.
Yeah.
Okay.
She, you got outvoted.
I did. Lynette, yeah, I did.
You got to go. The only thing I'll say, my cautionary tale to my children is, as a journalist, always check primary sources before you come to somebody and say this is that or this is this. Because a lot of times they'll see something on TikTok or Instagram and they're like, did you see that? I was like, that's a fake or that's not true. Where's the primary source? I hammer that stuff home, and I'm sure Professor Correa does as well. We continue with some fine folks from the University of St. Joseph here on Brian and Company. Professor Kirsten Martin, who's been there since 2011. Before I get to BioBlitz, I'm curious about the sort of progression of the student. As the student, because I'm obsessed with, you know, we just talked about social media. Kids, I find that they can't write as well as they used to. And I look at my kids, and then it's not, you guys could be brilliant writers, but I'm saying, I'm generalizing. I'm just curious about the quality of the student. Plus, you've also, the school's become more competitive, so maybe there's been an elevation in the academic stature of the student. I don't know. Like, how has that shifted in the dozen plus years you've been there?
Honestly, I haven't really seen a huge change other than I'd say the current crops of students are, they know the value of the education because it costs so much. Mm-hmm. So I think there's a lot more focus on, and they put an awful lot of pressure on themselves too, but making the education count, and they're worried from day one. I see like first day freshmen absolutely terrified of, you know, am I going to get a job in the field, mm-hmm. like immediately. Mm-hmm. So they put so much pressure on themselves. It's very different from when I was a student where like, college was really about discovering yourself and you had an opportunity to explore.
Worry about where you're going on Saturday night.
Yeah, I mean, there was that, and I really don't see an awful lot of that. Most of the students I have now are working one, two, sometimes three jobs. Mm-hmm. While being a full-time student, while being a student.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
An athlete while doing all this other stuff.
If you pass your boards, you're going to get a job, right? I mean, so there's some security in that, or?
I think it's more so the worry in how expensive school is and performing to the bar. Like, you need to pass the classes to get the degree to get the job. So I think there's a worry in, like, ourselves because we don't trust ourselves in doing what it takes.
Right. And Patrick, you're pretty career-focused?
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely. I think it's something that when you really love what you do, for me, as far as, you know, the creative environment, I think it's definitely a career that
I think there's a line that you want to make sure you're enjoying the experience, but I probably could have used a little more of that. I probably had a touch of lack of self-awareness / entitlement in my time, and I didn't think about it until very, very late, and it cost me a couple of years, to be quite honest. So what is the BioBlitz?
Yeah, so this week we're celebrating Watershed Week, and we're celebrating everything about the Connecticut River watershed. So I'm part of a group called the Connecticut River Watershed Partnership, which is pretty much any organization in the Connecticut River watershed, which goes from Vermont to Long Island Sound. We're a really long river.
What do you do, like, as a part of that group?
Well, I'm actually the education chair, and I'm also the only one representing a university in the entire group, so I speak up for the universities and higher ed in that group. But this Sunday is World Rivers Day, so we decided to kind of put together all the events that are happening throughout the region in celebration of our unique river. And the one event that I organized is a BioBlitz. So a BioBlitz is essentially a scavenger hunt of everything living, so plants, animals, insects, you name it. We're doing it based on iNaturalist, which is an app, a free app anybody can download. Just search for the project Connecticut River Watershed.
So you can do it wherever you are, or you go into a certain place to do it as a group?
Anywhere in the watershed. So if you're living in the watershed, which most of Connecticut, mm-hmm. unless you're far east or far west.
I live at the confluence of Farmington and Connecticut River. Yeah. So
take out your cell phone, download the iNaturalist app, join the project, and then just take a photo of what you see. You don't have to worry about identifying it. We can identify it online.
But is there a list of stuff to look for?
It's whatever you see that's living. So any plant, any animal, any insect, anything that you find that you want to take a photo of and upload. As of this morning, I just checked it. We have over 2,000 observations. Wow. We started Monday, it goes through Sunday. And we have right now just over 500 species identified.
So you have a scavenger. I feel like implied in that is competition, though. Like I want, you know what I mean? Like I want to win.
The competition is just to see what we have. We've never done a watershed-wide BioBlitz to know what's out there. And the idea is to get people to like open their eyes and see what an amazing place we all live in.
I like it. Lynette, in terms of community engagement, obviously you have two people here with us who are pretty engaged. Can you just talk about, you know, in terms of the student engagement and what you're getting from the student body and what sort of things are people really, not just in Mercy Week, but in general, gravitate toward?
Yeah, so one of the things, one of my roles is to identify community service opportunities for our students. Some students, and depending on the program, may have some community service requirements that they have to meet. And so I try to look out to see what's available. So for example, right next to us, we have a relationship with the Macaulay Retirement Community. And we have
a relationship. I was going to bring it up, by the way. I didn't forget about it.
We have a relationship with St. Mary Home. With St. Mary Home, we have a grandparent program, which we started up again last year. They had started before COVID. COVID hit. They had to stop it. Yeah. So we started up again last year. And that's been great. We've had our students go visit the residents there. They absolutely love our students. Our students love them. Yeah. And then we also have at the Macaulay, they have every second Monday of the month, they do a bingo night, and our students will go over and play bingo with them.
So students just volunteer or sign up?
Yep, mm-hmm. They sign up. I put out a registration. They sign up ahead of time. I have all the dates ahead of time, and so they pick their dates, and they show up on that Monday and participate. Uh-huh. And for the grandparent program, I connect them with the person, the coordinator over at St. Mary Home, and they match. Mm-hmm. They match the students with the residents.
So what is the tea at 3?
So the Tea at 3 program is through,
For all ages.
For all ages. Mm-hmm. And it works in connecting college students with members of older generations. And in that connection, you share a phone call or a Zoom call once a week, and you have tea with your teammate. So that was through, I got connected in that my freshman year. And this year, I'm the campus connector for the program. So I really put the outreach to our school, USJ, and the college students to encourage them to join. And in joining, they form their connection with their teammate that they're assigned to. So it's really special. I love my teammate. We still call weekly from last year.
Oh, that's great. So. Patrick, is men's tennis in the spring and women's in the fall? What is?
It's women's is in the fall and men's is going to be in the spring.
How's the team?
Great. Definitely. We had a little bit of a turnover from last year, but it's very interesting. We have a very interesting group of people, some kind of skilled players, some power players.
I played tennis when I was younger. I don't play it all anymore, but I was curious. Tennis is hard. Pickleball and paddle tennis is easy. Well, it's not easy to be good at anything, but I'm mm-hmm. curious about what the long-term numbers are for tennis, whether fewer are going to play because of these other sports.
I think you can play a little bit of both. I think it's a great sport to play at a younger age, but I think pickleball, I think it might be a sport that you can play with more, I think, longevity. I think sort of because of the less kind of risk of injury and sudden jerky, I guess would say, motions across the court. But yeah, tennis is definitely a hard sport. Mm-hmm. I would say it's one of those sports that you can kind of have patience because it certain kind of growths in your game, they happen over time, and then all of a sudden it kind of just clicks.
Yeah. You're out there all by yourself. I think that's the hard part of tennis is that I know coaches get involved more than they used to, but you're alone. And so when there's no teammate to lean on a lot of times. So it's a difficult sport to when you're out there all by yourself. Well, thank you guys. I want to thank Lynette Colon, who needs to get out of here, Director of Community Engagement and Spiritual Life, and Professor Kirsten Martin. We appreciate you, Patrick and Megan, and we appreciate the time. We know you guys are very, very busy.
And thank you. Yes, thank you.
And thank you guys so much. University of St. Joseph, right there in West Hartford. And great outcomes and really, really good people. And I think leadership. I think Rona is a great leader, you know, unafraid to make tough choices, but does it in a diplomatic way. I mean, her getting Jim Calhoun to come out of retirement to coach is like one of the coolest things I've ever seen. It's just really stunning.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.